This is CliffCentral.com. Help me put my mind to
rest. All right, SOS, and it's featuring Aloe Black, Avicii. He's dead. There's a documentary on him, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone put together a really moving, quite powerful, quite incredible documentary, which I think is also on Netflix. You can go and see that.
I signed into Netflix for the first time yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. And the first show I saw, I started watching, and I ended up watching 4 episodes in a row. And eventually, I had to go to bed.
What was the show?
Dead to Me.
Okay, heard about that.
With the girl from, what's her name? Don't worry. It'll have to come to me later.
Help me. All right, so if you haven't heard about Revex yet, they are a revolutionary new cryptocurrency investment platform, which you can get involved with. And of course, this timing is good. We try really hard to time these things as well as possible. But Revex's timing is excellent too. I see Bitcoin is currently trading at $8,012. It wasn't so long ago, it was half that. And although it has been much higher in the past, it got up to, I think it was $20,000 about 2 years ago in December. But things are definitely still alive and kicking there. The interesting thing about cryptocurrencies in general is that so many of them, so many of the altcoins, we don't even know much about. And it's impossible to keep up to date with all of it.
Yeah. Coming up all the time.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it would be a really good idea to launch something new here with Sean Saunders, who is one of the founders of Revex. He's a co-founder, and he's a cryptocurrency digital asset enthusiast. He just spent a bit of time in – where were you, in Switzerland?
Oh, hi, Gareth. Yes, I was in Zurich for a while, yeah.
Yeah, you guys were at some big cryptocurrency conference or something I saw on social media. So how's it going? How is Revex? It's how many months old now?
It's 1 month old. I mean, we're brand new, straight out the gate.
Very, very exciting stuff. So let's start off with what exactly you guys do. You allow people to own a portfolio of cryptocurrencies, right? So this is like the blue chip shares on the JSE, for example. They offer an index. Is that kind of what you do?
That's pretty much exactly what we do. So essentially, we're saying you can't guess in this market, right? You can't go and treat the crypto market like a casino. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be going out there and picking a single cryptocurrency that's going to be the success story of tomorrow, because generally speaking, you know, people are pretty bad at predicting the present, never mind the future.
Right.
So why not own a diversified bundle of cryptocurrencies and, you know, just rather take a diversified approach?
And of course, some of these cryptocurrencies are completely underestimated, and some of them have been in the past overestimated. Some of them have delivered incredible returns, but they're short-lived. So you do need the experts. How do you guys know what you're doing as opposed to, you know, someone who is just gambling and treating it like a casino?
Well, since we're taking this diversified approach, so we have 4 bundles, essentially. We have one bundle that gives you access to the top 10 cryptocurrencies, and they're all evenly weighted. So again, we kind of just got this mentality that, you know, you can't pick the winners. Let's not say that Bitcoin's the outright winner yet. Let's not say that Ethereum's the outright winner. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a diversified approach. And through that way, you kind of let the winners come to you. Every single month, we rebalance our portfolios. So essentially, you're always holding the top cryptocurrencies in the market. And if you look at over, you know, a 3-year horizon, yeah, one of our bundles would have outperformed an investment in Bitcoin or Ethereum alone by, you know, 110%. So, you know, just, you know, past performance isn't necessarily a good indicator of future performance, but it's probably one of the best things that we have.
Well, it is interesting. What sort of stuff besides Bitcoin and Ethereum do you have in your top 10? What are the top 10 mostly composed of at the moment?
Well, so it changes on a month-to-month basis, but essentially you'll include Ripple in that, generally speaking, mm-hmm. Litecoin, Stellar, Monero, Neo, Dash, Cardano. So all of these, you know, they rotate on a monthly basis.
Right.
So they're constantly changing. And that's the interesting thing about crypto, is that when you take your eyes off, you know, the price and, you know, the market for 5 minutes, you know, things change. Absolutely. And without having something that's dynamic, that kind of moves with the market during a bit of, you know, a bit of a spot.
All right, so update us quickly, because a lot of people fell out of love with cryptocurrencies after that initial surge, which got everybody in the world speculating wildly and putting money into this. And there were some people who sold their houses and double bonded their properties just so they could get in on the cryptocurrency market. And some of them were burnt pretty badly by that. But a lot of people also made a lot of money. How are we doing now, 2 years after that big sort of crypto ascent and then descent?
So, yeah, I mean, we've actually seen the crypto market fall by more than 80% three times, you know, over the last 5 years. And every single time it's fallen by this amount, it's come back stronger. The fundamentals have grown. You've got, you know, in the space right now, you've got custodians that are working on solutions that can look after your crypto assets. You've got trading solutions that are available. You've got compliance software that's coming out. And you've got, you know, people that are more educated about the space.
Right.
People that aren't just shooting from the hip. And, you know, if you now look at, you know, over the last 2 years, sure, crypto took, you know, quite a dive. I think the market was down at one point about 87%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the last 90 days, this market's done a U-turn and is up 127%.
What do you think has been driving the surge in prices recently?
There's quite a few factors. It's hard to pinpoint exactly which one, but I would probably say that Microsoft's involvement in, you know, they have announced a identity solution that's going to be launched on the Bitcoin blockchain, which is absolutely massive because you've got this blue chip company, which is essentially as centralized as they come, building something on a decentralized network, which is still seen as something that's a little underground. And that's absolutely massive. And on top of that, you've got JP Morgan launching their JP Morgan coin. You've got the speculation and the rumor of the Facebook coin that's coming out.
Hmm.
And you've got Fidelity, Bakkt, and all these big institutions coming into the space. So, you know, things are moving.
Sounds very, very interesting. Have you had a specific strategy in mind when it came to the launch of Revex? Because obviously you guys didn't want to launch either right at the top or right at the bottom, or did you just launch when you were ready? Was there any particular strategy behind that?
You know, I think Drake said it best. It was God's plan. No, we launched in this market and we just got the timing right. You know, over the last 30 days, it's been the best market we could potentially launch into.
Sure.
And, you know, we continue praying and things will hopefully continue to work the way that they are.
All right. So what's the best way for people to get involved if they want to start investing in one of your indices? How can they do that and where can they go?
Yeah. So it's super simple. They just head over to revex.com. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, take a look at the various bundles that we have. We have four bundles, as I said, one that's in the payment space, one that's in the platform space, and one that's in the privacy space. Those are like the sectors in the cryptocurrency world. And then we've got our fourth bundle, which is the top 10 bundle. And essentially, you know, very easy sign up process, sign up, get verified and invest in your bundles.
Fantastic.
And I mean, that's really just it.
All right. Very good. And there will be some of those more mysterious and interesting cryptocurrencies, those altcoins that people don't really know a lot about in there too. So you just decide on the portfolio that you're most interested in, the top 10 one, for example, or any of the others, and then start to invest.
That's exactly it. Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Brilliant. Sean, thank you so much, man. We'll chat to you again soon.
Fantastic. Thanks, Gareth. Have
excellent.
Good day.
And this will be the first of a couple of updates we'll be doing for you once a week on cliffcentral.com, where we will be giving you all the information that you need on all the altcoins, on the major ones, on the indices that we've got marked here with Revex. And you can start investing today. And remember, you don't have to invest huge amounts of money. You don't have to put your entire life savings into this. You could put just a couple of $100 in and see whether it goes up or down and how much it goes up or down by. And obviously, they're tracking the top 10 and they're tracking the best possible diversified portfolio for you. So the likelihood of you making a tremendous loss here is probably not very high, considering that cryptocurrency is, all of them, particularly Bitcoin and Ethereum, but the rest of them too, they've pretty much proven they're here to stay. Through the ups and the downs and a lot of people trying to manipulate them, it's certainly been something worth watching and something that isn't to be ignored. Currently, Bitcoin, $8,015, Ethereum, $252.
Very good.
Interesting stuff. If you want to find out more, go to revix.com, R-E-V-I-X.com. All right?
Right.
So, what's in the news?
Well, to me, much bigger than Game of Thrones or anything else, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything that's been going on, is that Grumpy Cat has died.
Oh, I know.
So sad.
Shame.
I can't believe how well-loved she became. She first appeared on internet pages way back in 2012. She was first posted on Reddit by Brian Bunderson. and she quickly gained prominence and became an important part of the history of internet culture. She was made into thousands of memes. She passed away last week after she suffered a recent urinary tract infection. Despite being treated by top professionals, she couldn't make it through. There was a heartbreaking announcement on social media from mommy and family. Grumpy's family is Tabitha, Brian, and Crystal.
Why am I not surprised that the owner's name is Tabitha?
And Grumpy is half tabby cat. Her dad was tabby. So, just it became too tough for her to overcome. She passed away peacefully on Tuesday in the arms of her mommy, Tabitha.
Oh, shame.
So, it was quite sad. She existed really for 7 years on the internet. In that time, she garnered 8.3 million followers on Facebook.
Incredible.
2.4 million on Instagram, 1.5 on Twitter. She was named 2012's most influential cat by MSNBC.
Very powerful position, that, actually. Yeah,
it's tough, like being, competition, I hear.
That's like the cat equivalent of being on Time magazine's cover.
That's it. Well, she was featured on the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. She has won a plethora of Meme of the Year awards. Mm-hmm. And in this article, which was very well written on Mashable India, she's pictured on the throne of Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised. She's the real winner. Poor old Grumpy Cat. Well, I met her at South by Southwest in, what was it, 2017 or 2016? I can't remember which year it was. And Grumpy Cat was grumpy, but she did acknowledge. She acknowledged me. And there are some very funny memes going around of Grumpy Cat in heaven going, "Is that it?
Yeah.
I expected more." Or, "This is heaven? I hate it."
Oh, man.
Just true to the grumpiness of it all.
Yeah, Grumpy Cat. We will miss you, Grumpy Cat. I'm so sorry.
My favorite meme of hers from the past was, "There are two kinds of people in this world. And I hate them so much." Oh, man.
God bless Grumpy Cat.
Well, she lives on in memes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, in a little while, we'll catch up with Anton Ossip, who's the CEO of Discovery Insure. The reason we're talking to him is because they have partnered with us to put together an incredible new series, a new podcast series called The Healthy Business Show. And we'll find out from Anton Ossip what is happening in this series, what kind of interviews we can expect, what kind of stories we'll hear, and all of that's very exciting. It's coming up in a little while.
Good.
Well, one of the things that also happened, really, there's so many things over this weekend, was that bizarre video we saw of the guy in a gym filming himself.
Oh, the masturbator.
Oh, yes.
As he was looking at a woman.
He was shining his dumbbell.
Men are gross.
Okay, men are gross. All right, let's explain to people who don't know what was going on. So in a Virgin Active in Stellenbosch, there was this dude who was sitting on one of the mats. You know those mats that you use to do like ab exercises.
Stretches.
And that kind of thing. Yeah, and stretches and yoga and all the rest of it. So he's on one of those mats, but he's got his towel or his jacket or something draped over him.
He's sitting, right?
But you can see he's busy playing with himself. Mm-mm. And it's all very disturbing. And then he's watching this one girl who's doing, mm-mm, what is she doing? Like, she's touching her toes or something?
I think she's on her on one of the bicycles.
Anyway, so someone films him. Someone films him doing this. In fact, he was filmed from...
No, he films himself, actually. He's on his phone.
Well,
did you miss that?
He says he was looking at someone. The point is, there's someone else on a bicycle who's filming him. And you can see what he's doing. And they're showing what he's looking at. And he's looking at his phone, supposedly, but he's also looking at her. And it's all just very creepy. Now, look, this guy might be quite dorky because he clearly wasn't aware of the fact that everybody else was looking at him. And to do this in public is gross.
You can't hide
it's
masturbation.
Gross.
Okay?
It's just
everyone's going to know you're doing it.
But what's happened since is maybe a lot more damaging, and I'll explain why. Because as creepy and stupid as his behavior is, the fact that he's been banned from the gyms, which is cool, that's fine.
Banned for life.
Banned for life. But there's now this huge movement online to like ruin this guy's life.
Shame, man.
So he may have erred and been a particularly egregious, disgusting, and gross human being. But, you know, the fact that his whole life from now on, he's going to be known as the guy who masturbated in Virgin Active, is going to ruin not only employment opportunities, the ability to have a normal relationship. It's going to ruin his life. Now, I'm sure that in that moment, he wasn't thinking about the consequences of his actions. But can we please not pile on? Like, I saw a whole lot of feminist tweeters who were busy climbing on board saying, well, you see, this is typical of men and we must ruin this guy to prove to him how disgusting his behavior is. Why do we need to ruin someone? It's bad enough that he will always be remembered for this. This is this is his life-defining thing. We don't know what the girl...
Is his name known?
It's probably, it'll take some time.
2 seconds before someone identifies him.
You know, he probably wouldn't be able to be employed again.
That's my point. He's a student. He's a young guy. Young men do stupid stuff. We all make mistakes. I'm not in any way making excuses for this kind of behavior. It's disgusting and gross. But
also
for
the
rest of his life.
Think about yourself and how you've changed in 10 or 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And what a different person you are.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, every cell in your body regenerates every 7 years. So you're essentially a new human being. Your behaviors change completely. I mean, there are things that you did 10 or 20 years ago that you would never do again.
Well, I mean, I looked at who it was who was spreading this around, because obviously it suddenly started going crazy, right? And people were all sending it to everybody they knew, and it was all very funny until this one woman who calls herself Wednesday Adams or something.
Oh.
She describes herself as a wild feminist, humanitarian, emotional as fuck. She, her are her pronouns. Vice chairperson of the UCT Food Outreach Student Initiative. So we know what
is that on her bio?
This is all in her bio, okay. So you know what kind of a person you're dealing with here. And I'm allowed to be rude about someone who describes themselves by these means. So I look at this and she says this guy must be destroyed. He's a terrible human being, and basically she's just, you know, piling on for this dude. Which she says, I want this man's face to go viral. This was at the Virgin Active in Stellenbosch. Abysmal behavior. Now, it is abysmal behavior, but for his face to go viral, why? Why do you want that? No one was hurt during the making of this porno, okay? And as gross as it is, and as unacceptable as the embarrassment alone is punishment enough for this guy. He will never live this down. Why pile on, honey? Why? She's going to hate that I called her honey.
Oh, listen, sweetie.
Yeah, maybe you might be a voyeur. Not a voyeur. What's it called? Well, someone who just loves the thrill.
It's not on, though. You don't do that.
Well, on a similar end, it's so weird that this all also happened in Manhattan. Yes. On Saturday, there was someone who was standing in waiting for a subway.
Yeah.
And he also gets very excited at in public and being able to pleasure himself out in public. Well,
oh my God.
A woman caught him doing that. And the woman stabbed the masturbator.
Oh, wow. Just that's right then and there.
That's a little overreaction, don't
you
think?
So just, you know, you never know what your customer might be like. Well, the police in Manhattan are looking for a woman who's believed to be in her 30s who fled the scene with another man and a baby stroller, according to the NYPD. This all happened at around 8:30 p.m. on Saturday. It's believed this 29-year-old man was riding the Southbound 5 line on the east side when he was looking at this woman, started pleasuring himself, then an argument ensued after that.
Listen, you've got to behave yourself. I mean, please. Yeah. Can we all just try to maintain some decency and composure and dignity around each other?
Is that too much to ask for?
I remember going to Chimp Eden, one of the many times I've been.
I'm not laughing.
It's standing there. It's the one part of Chimp Eden where you have to stand behind this construction of reeds because the one chimp throws rocks at you.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one really aggressive chimp.
Yeah. A lot of them have mental issues because they were brought up in clothing and smoking cigars in circuses. So this guy just throws rocks at you, but also he just jerks off as well.
Oh my God. Well, you see, chimpanzees are as bad as some of us.
And they do it, apparently, to show power over the people that are staring at them.
Well, that wasn't all either. There was a kind of self-pleasure of a different kind that was going on Twitter. Helen Ziller let me tell you something. Helen Ziller has let loose. Everybody wanted to know what free speech looks like. And free speech is not always pretty, and some people love it and some people hate it, but you often only love it or hate it if it agrees with you or disagrees with you. You know, you love what someone says and you're a big free speech advocate as long as they're saying the things you believe are absolutely true and sacred. And as soon as they turn against you, you're like, oh, that's not free speech, that's intolerance and racism, and that's just not allowed, and we're going to cut that person off. Well, Helen Ziller does not owe anybody anything anymore. She's no longer looking for your vote. She's no longer going to come around and kiss your baby.
She's not hosting those. She used to have like pool parties
and
at her house.
Bezos and all kinds of. She doesn't care anymore, and she's going to be as honest as she likes, and she's going to go after even woke Twitter, which she did with a cudgel and an axe and Thor's hammer over the weekend. She tore into every sacred cow you could possibly imagine over the weekend. And when anyone tore back at her, she revealed things about them that they were not prepared for. Some guy, I think he's in Cope, some guy said to her, Gog Helen, you are racist. Well, she reminded everybody that this guy has not paid maintenance for his children. And his wife keeps sending Helen, when she was Premier of the Western Cape, letters of desperation to try and get this guy to pay his maintenance for his children. And she let everybody know about this. Then he fired back and said, oh, Helen, there's no need to get personal. And she said, personal? You want to get personal? She said, I'll take you out at the knees. She is not holding back.
Yeah, this Philip Dexter was one of the guys who was tweeting. And then she responded saying, please pay your ex-wife and your joint child what you owe them. I'm tired of getting desperate letters from them. When you have sorted out your own privilege compared to the situation of your ex-wife and child, you can contact me again. Thank you.
So if you want to see some interesting stuff, follow Helen Ziller, because I don't think that she's going to get quieter. I think she's going to get louder.
Yeah.
And all those people who are hoping to shut her down, you have no chance. This woman, if she had dragons, we would be watching a pretty serious Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she's not interested in sitting on her patio watching the sunset.
She's not quietly going away to some corner of the political wilderness. Mm-mm. This woman she's about to become more relevant than she's ever been.
And just releasing a monthly newsletter with her thoughts. No. That's right. Not for her.
And if you don't like Helen, and many people don't like Helen, that's entirely okay. But you have no chance of shutting her up. And I think that that's a tremendously good thing for democracy and for free speech. And I will be watching with great interest as we go into this new dawn of Helen being unaccountable to her political party. She doesn't have to apologize for a damn thing, and she's not about to start now.
She said, I refuse to apologize for rejecting racism and double standards. I will, however, reflect long and hard about how to keep exposing them.
Yeah, I mean, she even went after Eskom over the weekend. She's really not holding back. So apparently News 24 reported, government wants townships to use more electricity and may give them one free unit for every unit bought. And Helen replies, isn't enough being stolen yet? So really just getting warmer every step of the way. And she also went after Roland Williams, who, and the whole thing came about because she talked about black privilege. She said, if you're going to say white privilege exists, then there's black privilege too. And black privilege is basically being able to steal as much as you like from the state's coffers and still get elected.
But that happens the world over in politics.
So in this case, she's saying it's the black elite. That's the black elite exercising their privilege. Well, she says so. And then somebody called Roland Williams, who's obviously a Cyril supporter because he's got Tumamina as part of his name, the black people of Cape Town and the Western Cape have suffered and are suffering under the DA for services that are well within the mandate of both provincial and local government. So Helen fires back. She says, Aren't you the criminal from Nelson Mandela Bay who was found guilty of stealing money meant for service delivery? I would shut up if I were you.
Now, doesn't this also say that Gorg Helen is sitting on a lot of files and receipts about people?
There's some small onion skeletons.
Where does she get all of this information from?
Well, she's been collecting it.
Now I'm scared to tweet anything.
Just remember, Helen Ziller was an anti-apartheid activist. She was the person who reported on Steve Biko's death. She was a journalist of great renown and repute before she became a politician. You fuck with her at your peril.
Lest we forget.
Trust me. Go down this road with her. She will dance with you. You will end up being very sore by the end of it. She's not to be messed with.
Well, the whole story reminds me of another story that I saw over the weekend. An elephant, this is an Indian elephant, and it happened in India, killed a man after people pelted stones at its just-born baby.
Oi.
So the little baby elephant was ill and fell down at one point and couldn't get up.
Oh, that's
horrible. Locals began throwing stones at it. And so this elephant took none of it and went Godzilla on their asses and trampled them.
All those in favor of animals getting people back for when people are horrible to animals, put your hands up.
I have two hands up.
There we go. So good for the elephant. Does anyone feel sorry for the people who were throwing stones at
Not
the elephant?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
How does this story... How does this remind you of Gog Helen?
She's just not taking any shots.
She's like an elephant. If you throw stones at her, she will come at you. All right, so to go back for a moment, because today is going to be the Game of Thrones hangover day for a lot of people, anyone who woke up really this early this morning at 3 a.m. to watch the final show, please don't spoil it for the rest of us. Please. Spoilers are the worst thing you can do. If you want to make enemies for the rest of your life, you have an opportunity to do so today, but I would encourage you not to.
It's as bad as pleasuring yourself in a gym.
Absolutely.
It'll ruin your life.
Absolutely. But Jack Black did a version of the Game of Thrones opening song. I thought you might like this. This comes from B.
Oh, boy.
She just sent it to us in Cape Town. B got hold of us on our WhatsApp line, 0797482090. Here's Jack Black. He's doing all the parts, by the way. So how do you like that? There's Jack Black doing his version of the Game of Thrones opening credits.
You can imagine him walking around his house for the last few years, every time it's on, singing it like that.
Well, I think a lot of us probably did. So there it is, something fun for you this morning. I'm very happy to have Anton Ossip here, who's the CEO of Discovery and Show. We're doing something really fun with them too. You know, a lot of people are interested in small and medium-sized businesses because that is where the economy is going to grow. Those are also the businesses that employ people. Those are the businesses that will make a difference and will hopefully get the president, who's now got a new and fresh mandate from the electorate, to achieve what he wants to achieve, which essentially is economic growth. And the only place that can happen is with small businesses. So we're asking a bunch of questions. We're asking about whether they have the support they need to succeed. It's called the Healthy Business Show, and it's a new collaborative podcast series by Discovery Business Insurance, which presents inspiring content to empower entrepreneurs to give them insights that will help them to start a business, grow that business, and achieve success. And I think it's a brilliant idea. The idea comes from Discovery Insure. And this morning, Anton Ossip is here to tell us a little bit about that. Anton, how are you?
How are you? Morning, Gary.
Nice to see you. And yeah, you too. A busy start to this week and lots of people talking about, you know, trade wars with China and all kinds of things. But I don't think I'm wrong to say that the only place we really can fix this economy is at that small and medium business level, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, small businesses make up 60% of the economy, 34% of the economy, and employ 60% of people that are in formal employment. And the key to the success of this economy and the growth of this economy is creating more SMEs and helping SMEs to thrive and succeed for the long term.
I mean, even Discovery was a small idea once.
Absolutely. Discovery is, I guess, the sort of poster child of small business. And it was a small business that started with, you know, two people with an idea and a dream, you know, 27 years ago. And it's grown into today into a, you know, a big global corporate.
People tend to look at what a business is now and they almost mythologize where that business might have come from. But it does start with that idea, and it does start with some founder putting the hard yards in before anyone believes in their idea. And growing it to a point where people go, oh, wow, this thing, we've got to take this seriously, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it starts with, you know, with the dream. It starts with passion. But it requires a number of, you know, a number of things to go right for a business to succeed. And research shows that, you know, 70 to 80% of businesses don't succeed in their first 5 years. And it's often due to the lack of some of those key ingredients. You know, things like having access to capital, having access to markets, having access to the right people and talent and management, you know, capability to take the business, you know, and make it succeed, you know, for the long term.
And there's no way to learn than there's no better way to learn than to hear other people's stories and to hear about their experiences with their own business, because those could shortcut for you, if you're a small business owner, a lot of the hard lessons that you might be able to avoid having to learn yourself by learning them from the experiences of others. And similarly, the successes, like the ways that businesses suddenly accelerated, what they managed to do to get investment, what kinds of things that they had to do in the early stages to control cash flow, for example, what the obvious pitfalls were to avoid, what kind of clients they should try to find in the first while to make it sustainable in the long run. And all of this is going to be part of the Healthy Business Show. Now, obviously, it's a play on words because Discovery started off with, you know, the idea of health, and then it's expanded into all these other areas, including insurance and business insurance, which is the area that you're most interested in Discovery. But it's going to be, for I think a lot of people, an opportunity to go on a journey with all these small business owners and people who've had the struggles, had the difficulties of starting a business, and who can hopefully share that stuff with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a podcast series of 12 parts, and it goes through to, you know, it talks to a number of entrepreneurs, people who've had incredible success stories, you know, people like Aisha Pandor from Sweep South, an incredible South African success story, you know, becoming the sort of the Uber of domestic help or help in the home, you know, a great, great success story. You know, people like Barry Schwartzberg, the co-founder of Discovery Insurance, who heard from him, you know, what was it like in the early days and what, you know, were the challenges to build Discovery into the business that it, you know, that it is today. You know, it gives, you know, access to people that can just offer really sound advice. You know, Emma Sadler, for example, can talk about social media and the risks of social media having a detrimental effect on a business. You know, one of the things we focused on in Discovery Business Insurance is to make businesses sustainable, not just for the risks of yesterday, but for the risks of tomorrow as well. And social media liability risk is a real one. You know, an employee does something wrong and can destroy your business.
And you can insure yourself against that, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we brought to the table now for the first time, insurance against things like that.
So there could also be interesting lessons for people who are just getting started in what kinds of bases you need to cover with respect to insurance. So let's just talk for a second about the series, because it's hosted by Fred Rode, who we all know from Heavy Chef, which is obviously an entrepreneur education platform that's featured technologists and pioneers and creatives and people from all over the business and leadership world. But Fred is a terrific host, and he's spoken to, you mentioned a few of the names already, he's spoken to people like Barry Schwartzberg, he's spoken to people like Rich Mulholland, Aisha Pandor, to Mike Anderson, to Dov Gurnham, to Musa Kalenga, and plenty of other people, right, who have done amazing things in an economy which hasn't exactly been favorable to small businesses for a very long time. And maybe, just maybe, there's one pearl that everybody gets to take away from this. But even if you're just interested in how it all happens, even if you're just a, you know, someone who's observing this, someone who's interested, who's inspired by these kinds of stories, maybe you have no intention of actually doing it in business, these could be fascinating case studies and otherwise.
No, absolutely. I think each one is going to be sort of just exceptional to listen to. And, you know, it will appeal to different people, different sort of words of wisdom that come out of them. And hopefully everyone walks away with a few great ideas to make their business into a better business and to understand what was the secret of success on those sort of business stories.
What do you find most interesting about the business world in South Africa at the moment? You must encounter plenty of interesting people every day. You must be involved in discussions about the macro economy, and you must also hear individual, very granular stories. What is it about business in South Africa that interests you?
I think what sort of fascinates me is that business environment is difficult. You know, there's so many sort of things that are coming at us from all different directions. And the people that are most successful are those that are optimistic about the future. People that, you know, despite all the noise, they kind of cut through it. And they say that, you know, there is a great future out there. There's a great market. South Africa is incredible in terms of the growth opportunity, you know, just given the growth of the markets and the growth of the number of consumers that are becoming consumers. And if you take advantage of that and you build a business and you think out the box, you know, look at just some of the great success stories are coming out of technology. You know, we know that technology can be a major disruptor to your business. You know, if you're sitting with a business that's been going around for 20 years or 30 years and you're ignoring technology, that's a major risk to you. On the other hand, if you want to start your business tomorrow and use technology, you can become the market leader. And, you know, there's so many examples from Uber to Airbnb to Sweep South locally and so many others that are perfect examples about how technology can become, you know, your business as opposed to disrupting your business.
I'm so glad you brought up technology because Discovery have done some things there that nobody else has done. And you guys started doing them before everybody else too, whether it was gathering information from a medical point of view on the various people that you had on your platform so that you could make better decisions, help them to make better decisions. You know, actuaries who are crunching numbers, trying to figure out where the most need is and where the most of new research is being done, where people are trying to figure out new forms of treatment, new ways to make it financially viable for people to deal with either, you know, long-term diseases that are chronic that they have to deal with, or with particular scenarios that are eventualities for them. In business and insurance, you guys have also started from the get-go with collecting as much data as possible so that you can figure out what the need is.
Absolutely. I think if you can measure, you know, if you can measure as many things as possible and you can take those measurements and use them to reward people for better behavior change, you can make a real difference. And an example of that we've done in the business sense is what we've done on fleets, where, you know, from a small fleet to a big fleet, we've made technology available where company owners can measure how their fleets are performing, how their cars are being driven. You can incentivize fleet drivers to drive better, and therefore by bringing down the cost of accidents, bringing down the share of sort of loss of life through motor vehicle accidents or lack of productivity, or even quite frankly as simple as just fuel usage. You know, if a car's been driven better, you'll spend less on fuel. And we've provided that technology free of charge to companies that are in, you know, in Discovery Business Insurance and taking out fleet insurance, you know, the sort of bolt on to their fleet insurance policy. And it's what we've done for individuals through Discovery Insure over the last 8 years.
Right.
We've done that through many years through Vitality in terms of measuring health and health outcomes and incentivizing better health outcomes. So it really just extends quite naturally into the business world.
And obviously with all this big data, you're able to plug into artificial intelligence, which is able then to figure out things that aren't so obvious because humans make mistakes. Machines tend to take all the data and look at it much more reasonably and rationally. And without the emotional attachment, it also allows you to then plot the future and to try to figure out what may be happening next.
Yeah, correct. I mean, it just kind of provides a number of paths that you can use to just make business more efficient, to assist businesses, to make them grow quicker, okay. Which is ultimately the aim of this podcast and the aim of our business.
Well, there are all these stories, and I think it'll be a fascinating journey to go on with Discovery Insure in this case, and all these amazing people with the 14 different episodes, the 12 people that we speak to, I think. They will air every Wednesday at 9 o'clock here on cliffcentral.com. They'll highlight the importance of entrepreneurship to the economy. They'll start conversations on partnerships and support for small and medium businesses, and create awareness of the helpful resources and the need to manage risk effectively, which is probably the number one reason that most companies don't survive beyond 5 years, and the ones that do manage to. And then share practical tips on how to grow a business. So if you are a small business owner, or you know someone who is thinking about starting their own business, this may be the best university for them to spend time with. And the nice thing about podcasts is you can fit them into your day, you can rewind them, you can listen to something again and again, you can find out more information, you can start those conversations with those people online too. And it's all going to be living on Discovery's website and here on cliffcentral.com.
Thanks, guys.
Very exciting stuff. No, I'm really, really thrilled. I'm delighted we're able to do this because I know lots of business owners, and I know that their stories, it's fine if they can tell their five friends at a dinner party, but it's much more useful if they can tell everybody else who's interested. And there is a fortune of information, and there is a huge audience of people who are very, very interested in business. So I think this is the place to do it. Very, very excited. Thank you so much. Anton Ossip, who is the CEO of Discovery Insure, joining us this morning to launch the podcast series. Make sure you listen. It starts this Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and we're going to put out all of the episodes for you over the course of the next couple of weeks so that you can hear all of these stories. And as we said, so many interesting people here. Sean Raymond, Emma Sadler, Robert Burgess, Zaid Magruz. We've got loads of really interesting people. Riyad Musa, even, who you'd be interested to hear from when it comes to business. Really, really smart people with great insight.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
And you're glad that I didn't ruin Game of Thrones for you. You haven't watched it either.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I'm so glad that even the CEO of Discovery Insure is a Game of Thrones fan. I feel like such a geek sometimes when I have these conversations with other people. And they go, oh, no, I don't watch that. I'm too important and too busy. You're watching it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, damn right. Last show. You can watch it tonight.
For sure.
The family into it?
Not just me.
Just you. Okay, well, strength to you. Don't let anyone spoil it for you today. Stay off of social media if you know what's good for
you. You have no friends on social media today.
They're all your enemies.
Yeah.
All of them. Be very, very wary. Okay, thank you so much, Anton.
Thanks,
go and listen to the new series that's brought to you by Discovery Insure. It's going to be hosted here on cliffcentral.com, and you can find it on Discovery's platforms too. If you're interested in business and you're interested in entrepreneurship and small business particularly, if you want to start a business or you're just curious about how they work, this is the place to check it out. And you can go and find out more on cliffcentral.com from this morning. All right, some other things that are going on in the news. Leanne, what's on your mind?
A little bit of extension on business talk. These are things that you should not do straight after a job interview. And also talking about the influence of social media on things like this.
Tell me.
So, you know, you go in for a job interview, you come out, you either feel really shitty about it or you feel really good about it. It's normal to feel this sort of roller coaster of emotions after a job interview.
But these are things you should not do after a business, a job interview.
Correct.
Okay.
Number one, don't freak out. Don't drive yourself crazy.
Yes.
If you haven't been contacted yet about the job, you know, it's easier said than done, but you sometimes turn to social media and write silly things like, I'm still waiting to hear back from this person. Just keep it to yourself and don't be so in tune with it. Just relax.
A lot of people they think that because it's the most important thing in their life, it's also the most important thing in their prospective employer's life. It isn't. You might be the 312th most important thing they have to do that day. And therefore, don't take it personally if you're not the first person they contact. First thing on a Monday.
Yeah. Don't forget to send a thank you.
Yeah. Oh.
That's very important. So, you know.
That'll help.
You don't have to be all ask-kissy and mulchy about it.
No,
you don't have to
thanks.
Say, you know, looking
you.
Forward to your response. But just, you know, it could even be a quick phone call.
Just say thanks very much for your time. It was great to see your office. It was great to meet some of your people. It just creates a little warmth.
Yeah. And the last thing not to do is to not drop the ball during a follow-up. Because a lot of times you put so much energy into this interview, thinking it's all you think about it and you don't think beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So finally you get the job. There's a follow-up interview to now discuss what your role's going to be, what you can do, what you're not going to be doing, etc. And it's very easy to actually lose energy in this interview.
Hmm.
You may have promised a lot about yourself in the first interview, so be careful of that. Don't drop the ball during the follow-up.
Yeah, these days I've seen a lot of the big companies do 4 or 5 interviews with people before they
That's
hire
right.
them.
It's a whole process.
Yeah, so you've got to keep that energy up. You've got to be consistent across the 5 different interviews, because if you up in one, down in the other, they're going to go, this person doesn't seem so stable.
Yeah, so keep your quality of interaction high at every opportunity. You also might be called back to say, listen, we think that a different role would be better for you within this company. So kind of be open to that as well.
Yeah, don't set your heart on anything
in
particular. But it is hard. And going for a job interview, which is something I don't think I've ever done. I don't really know much about it. But I have had people come to me for jobs. And you could see people get nervous. Even people who have tremendous ability and confidence, they get nervous because in that moment, a lot of their dreams could either come true or be smashed.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal, and you have to just keep calm, keep it together.
And the same applies to, if you don't go to interviews, but you might interview potential clients, or they interview you to take on their business.
All right, so someone on the studio line this morning, what is your number? It's the same number you've just messaged us on. You can send me a voice note. A couple of people have. If you want to get online, 079-748-2090. We're not using the old Telkom landline number anymore. We've decided to give that up. People don't care about it. Why the hell would we do it? If you want to call us, there are still ways we can do it on Skype, for example, if you want to do the live stuff, but otherwise you can always send us a voice note. So apparently Mel B was rushed to hospital. Mel B is...
Crazy Spice.
No, she was called Scary Spice.
Scary Spice. Crazy Spice. Sorry. Oopsie.
After what happened with Eddie Murphy and a couple of other things in her life, you could call her Crazy Spice. What's wrong?
She's even better known now, and especially amongst younger people, as an America's Got Talent judge.
Yes, the one who talks like this. Hello, I'm Mel B.
She does have the most interesting accent.
Are you going to sing for us?
I just know her as the one with the sex addiction. And had the threesomes with the nanny.
That's right. She had a sex addiction
as well.
Oh, my
gosh. Yes. I had actually forgotten about all of that. Yes. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
Tell us some more.
Well, she was rushed to hospital after losing her sight in one of her eyes. She was suddenly not able to see out of her right eye. She was reportedly heard at the hospital saying, "I can't see anything. I'm totally blind." How would you say that, Gareth? How would she say it?
I'm totally blind. I used to be able to see with both my eyes. Now I can only see with one totally blind.
Oh, gosh. Shame. So it was actually quite serious. She was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, if I go blind in one eye, you better believe it's serious.
Oh, she was frantic and screaming that she couldn't see a thing.
Oh, my God.
She went to the hospital in a chauffeur-driven car with an assistant who was holding her hand. And apparently it was after laser surgery, which went wrong.
Oh, I've heard these stories.
I don't want to hear them.
You don't mess around with that.
But it was temporary, the loss of sight. She is still under treatment. She's going to require intensive treatment and medication. So, you know, it's not clear if it was linked to her previous problems before the surgery as well. Maybe it was just the surgery itself.
Well, it's not a good time for this to happen because they're about to head off on tour. I think it's either this week or next week. Yeah, the Spice Girls without Victoria.
Maybe she'll have patch on her eye.
Well, the problem with it, if you're a dancer and moving around the stage like they do, you lose your depth perception.
Well, maybe she won't be able to dance because it'll shake the eye up.
There might be a...
Shake it to the left.
Shake it to the left.
Shake it to the right.
Shake it to the right. Did they have a song like that?
I got to squeeze in a song this morning.
They might have to put a little garden fence at the end of the stage so she doesn't fly off.
I'm not being ageist, but I'm sorry. And then we might as well put them on wheelchairs. I don't want to see that on stage.
Spice Girls wheeling themselves around.
Yeah, they're starting this week, May 24th in Dublin. Now, if Victoria isn't joining the original five, and what if Mel B also can't join the original five? Then it's just the sad three people. And then to add to that as well.
So Victoria's not joining them?
Oh, no, no, no.
She's too posh for that.
She's above that.
Come on now. No, she can't do that. Now, Ginger Spice has now said, you know, she's mother. She's married now.
Jerry Halliwell.
Yes. She's now married to like a big, big F1 boss. So, uber rich. She's saying that, thank you very much, I'm very excited for this tour, but I'm now a respectable woman. I want to wear more age appropriate outfits. So while all of
Ginger Spice.
Yes. So while all of the other ladies are dressing in their iconic costumes, she's saying she's not showing any boob, too much
don't
leg.
Worry, no one ever came for your boobs. Sorry.
So that leaves Baby Spice and like Mel C.
Not Ginger Spice.
Really?
Yeah, please.
Oh.
No.
So are you happy to rather than see her in like polar necks and
Yeah, I think that is age appropriate. Frankly, I'm with her. No, I'm with her. You know what? There's nothing worse than like mutton dressed as lamb.
I don't know if they should do this the show at all.
Go ahead. No, there's a fan base, believe it or not, for the Spice Girls. And the fact that they're doing a reunion... Probably going to get sold out stadiums. I would say it's probably going to be a success.
Right? They had to add extra dates because everything was sold out.
So go ahead, girls. And you know what? They're not 20-year-olds anymore. Mm-hmm. So that it's probably right that they change it slightly. No one's expecting them to do the crazy stuff that they did when they were 20. So this is appropriate. I don't think this is dumb at all. Well done, Ginger.
Yeah, if it's all done tastefully and it's not cringeworthy, then I might be swayed.
Well, it's a bit of nostalgia. That's why anyone would want to go and see them again. I mean, they weren't great musicians. Let's not mess around. Mm-hmm. You know, no one goes, oh, the Spice Girls, they're right up there with and, you know, Lennon and McCartney. And.
But in terms of popularity, they were.
Yeah, sure. But that's why I'm saying.
But in terms of talent.
Purely nostalgia. Mm. And nostalgia doesn't have to dress up the way that it did in the old days. Although they'll probably pull out some outfit that'll, you know, just as a joke.
There's going to be glitter. Sure. There might be platforms.
They were the, remember Girl Power?
Yes.
Remember all that? That was that time.
Oh, I had three older sisters. They had the Spice Girls lollipops, the Spice Girls sneakers, the Spice Girls lyric books. It was a Spice World. But it honestly was. And then I'd have to sometimes dress up as one of the Spice Girls just to come.
And that's where everything just catapulted you into the world of glitz and glam.
Who did you have to dress up as?
I was always like Baby Spice or Sporty Spice because my sisters wanted to be the main ones, you know.
And they needed extra characters.
And then when it came to reenacting Destiny's Child, I was just a dancer.
Has Sporty Spice ever had any serious work since the Spice Girls?
No, and
not really, because you sounds like Ginger did okay. She married a Formula One boss.
Mm-hmm. Mel C.
I went to watch a Mel C concert years ago.
What?
At Sun City.
Wow.
And
I didn't even know she did a concert.
It was before social media, and you weren't really keep the only way you knew what celebrities looked like at that exact moment was through old people magazines. Mm.
And the posters in the middle of the magazine.
Yeah. So I pitched up at this concert and she came out and I thought it was just the person who was testing the mics. She was enormous.
Oh, really?
She was huge. Oh, wow. Like seriously, seriously, enormously fat. I actually heard people going, when she came out. But she sang well and all's forgiven. But I think now that she's lost a lot of weight.
And she was Sporty Spice.
Exactly. That was the whole shock. If you're going to become a Spice Girl or something like that, don't call yourself Sporty because you're going to have to live with it for the rest of your life.
Well, here's a story from IOL, a couple of, when was this? This was in 2000. Spice Girl Mel C says she is not a fat lesbian.
Oh, you see, this was, they were trying to drum up publicity for their tour and I don't believe the story.
But this is back in 2000, that's... Okay. That was probably when Leanne saw her on stage.
Oh, yeah. No.
Jesus.
But wait, I thought you were being serious. There was a moment, though, where I think it was Mel B who was being interviewed by someone at the BBC, and she alluded to the fact that there were some lesbian activities at the height of Spice Girls. They say, no, they aren't lesbian, but they were just fooling around as young girls. And I just thought, they're trying to drum up some publicity. But I don't blame...
It sounds to me like Victoria Beckham did okay. She married David, and obviously they've gone on. She's designed all kinds of things. She's a fashion guru. She's okay. She's really done very well since the Spice Girls. Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, seems to have married well, even if she didn't do anything particularly interesting career-wise after that. Who knows? Mel B's gone on and done very well with reality TV. And she's got a real career going. What about Baby Spice and Sporty, the one we just spoke about now? Anything good happening for them, or is it...
Well, Sporty continued to sing, and I think she had one of the better singing voices of the group.
Okay.
But I don't know anything about Baby Spice.
Yeah, shame. We don't know.
But I actually...
Emma Bunton. What?
Emma Bunton.
If I could choose, I would rather be those two. Because I always look at a band like Coldplay or U2, and I envy the drummer who has this rock star life, travels around the world, 5-star everything, makes tons of money, and then afterwards they can call it a day and they chill and they're fine. I think when you are in the public eye, there is that pressure and that constant stress of, okay, how do I one-up myself? What do we do next? Ugh.
I'm looking at a reunion picture. I'm looking at a reunion picture of them now. They're all actually holding up really well. They all look very, very attractive in this picture I'm looking at.
And Emma,
Spice looks hot as hell. She's way hotter now than she ever was before.
That's what I was going to say about Emma Bunton. She looks much prettier than she did before.
Emma Bunton's hot the Jerry Halliwell's looking good. Mel
See?
B.
She yeah. could still pull off those outfits.
Yeah, go for it, Spice Girls. You go.
They've all. I think they've all had kids. Wow. I'm looking at Baby Spice. She's got two kids of her own.
Yes. Well, look. You know what? We've also got to stop being ageist about this. They're as talented as they ever were. They've got more life experience now. They're wiser than they ever were before. They're not as gawky and, you know, when you're young, you also, you kind of look a little uncomfortable in your body for a while. And even these girls who were super cool and they could pull all the dance moves and all that stuff, I reckon they're better off now than they ever were then. And they know themselves, so they've got more depth.
But Gareth, I absolutely hear you. But if I go to a Spice Girls concert, I'm not looking for life philosophy. I want to shimmy and shake, and I want to see them dance and prance around on stage.
All right, Sia, well, you go. I'm not going
to
go.
I am ageist. I'll admit to that if that's the case.
I'm not going to the concert, so you'll have to be our reporter.
No, I will not be.
All right, anything else you want to throw in there quickly, Leanne? A little bit of time left.
Okay, so... When I was in primary school.
That's what you were going to say when you were in the Spice
Girls. No. When I was in primary school, I was quite a book nerd. I loved libraries. I was a librarian and later on a library prefect. Yeah. And during school holidays, my mom would drop me off at the local library because in those days we didn't have internet or some of us didn't have sets of encyclopedias.
Is this because she wanted to get rid of you?
Probably.
Okay.
But also I was an only child for a long time. So I had to find ways to
amuse myself.
And I used to go to the library and I would do my own project. And I remember doing a project on bees because I thought they were so fascinating.
Okay.
How old were you at this stage?
I don't know, like 10.
Oh, shame.
No, good. Go ahead. Don't judge.
Yes, as you were.
See, it's very judgy.
And
today.
Since then,
very
I've always judgy. Found bees fascinating.
Mm.
You tell me if you knew these facts about bees.
Go on.
Our fuzzy flying friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 10-year-old Leanne. Let's go.
There are, how many different species of bees do you think there are? Because if you think about it, I know there are bumblebees and I see the other stinging type, right?
I don't know. There must be a lot. They're probably way more than we think. 40?
25,000.
Wow.
Different species of bees. All sorts. You get striped ones, metallic ones. Ones are shiny, black, colorful ones, so on. So only a few of them are actually social insects.
Oh, really?
The rest nest alone.
Hmm.
That's quite interesting to me. The world's largest bee is Wallace's giant bee, and it is 4 centimeters long. And then you think of its wingspan at 6.3 centimeters. It's a huge, colossal bee. Okay, not all bees sting. Male bees don't sting. It's only the females that sting.
Okay.
And the reason why male bees don't sting is because they're... penis-like instrument for injecting sperm is actually on their stinger. So wow. They don't want to lose that. Right?
Sounds like a very male thing to do. Yeah.
Wow.
So they send and then obviously the females die after stinging. There are some bees that survive. And the reason why they die is because the little combs on their sting, the barbs,
mm-hmm.
like a fishing hook, gets lodged in the skin of the assailant and it actually rips apart the bee's body as they pull apart.
That's very nice.
And you think, well, then that's not really a good defense. But think of, say, 10 bees going out and stinging a bear who's on their way to their colony.
Yeah.
And the bears will then turn away. So they'll have 10 of them to die.
All right.
They're very selfless. I wouldn't.
No, Sia, you would no. Clearly, Sia, you wouldn't. And you, as I said, you're being very judgy.
Oh,
this
but
morning.
Granted, I would be the queen bee. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm quiet. Goodbye.
What do you know? What honeybees eat?
I'm so relieved. The show's almost finished with Sia in this.
I love you too. Goodbye.
Bye bye. Get out
bye,
of here.
Bye, Sia. Gareth, do you know what honeybees eat?
Well, they don't eat the nectar. They turn the nectar into honey.
They actually do eat the nectar.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh.
They eat the nectar, and in winter, they eat their own honey.
Huh. Well, there's got to be a reason they make it. They don't make it for us.
That's true.
No. Even though we take it from them.
We do. We do take it.
We don't give them an option. It's expropriation without compensation.
And not only that, but if you think about the food that you eat during the day, All types of food.
Yes.
Talking about your fresh foods.
Right.
Bees pollinate 1 in 3 mouthfuls that we eat.
Hmm.
So one mouthful of the 3 that you have is thanks to bees.
Okay. Well, that's very good. Listen, I know how important they are to the ecosystem, and particularly to the, the pollination of plants and flowering plants.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't have a lot of our edible greenery and our vegetables wouldn't exist, and fruit, without bees. There you go.
So let's just be a little more respectful about the bees, shall we?
And Sia, you can buzz off.
All right, thanks everybody. That's all we got time for this morning. I did get a message from a friend of mine, Eleanor, who says that she's seen Emma Bunton regularly on radio and television. So she is still around, very, very busy. She's a TV host, among other things.
Yeah, she had a radio show on Heart, I remember.
There we go, see? Mm-hmm. Busy woman. Okay, so all the Spice Girls have been busy, and now the only one who apparently is not joining them on tour for sure is Posh
She's
Spice.
Got 100,000 children and a very busy life.
She's too busy. She's too important for this this ridiculous thing. She doesn't want. She's not interested in it. Thank you.
She's just too posh.
She's too posh. She's married to David Beckham, and she's got a life of her own. She's busy designing things, cars and dresses and God knows what else. No time for you stupid Spice Girl reunion people. Sorry. All right, enjoy your day. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. We have a replay of last week's Auto Central show, if you missed it, and loads of good stuff. Don't forget the launch of our brand new Discovery series, which is called Healthy Business, the Healthy Business Show, and that is going to be a series where you can get to know all these entrepreneurs in South Africa who've done amazing things, hear their stories firsthand, the lessons that come out of them. And while we're on the issue of things that are new and that we're doing here on the channel, there's also a brand new feature with Revix, which allows you to invest in cryptocurrency indices. If you want to know more about that, you can also find out on the website, cliffcentral.com. Have a good day. Ciao.
This is cliffcentral.com.